Father, we come before thee once more to give thee thanks and praises for the opportunity in which we can call upon your name. Father, we are here to worship. Let not Robert be seen, but let Prince Emmanuel be seen through me. Father, come by here and work as you have never worked before. Touch your waiting congregation. Come and visit each aisle and each pew. Is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Transformation through education. I commence my presentation today by making some general comments about education. First, education is not a mystical experience that is being imparted at designated times, especially to young persons in buildings known as schools, colleges, and universities. Education is an increasing of awareness that is happening to all of us at all times. Second, education is not information, knowledge, or schooling. According to J. Whitehead, a philosopher of education, it is the acquisition of the art of the utilization of knowledge. Third, to be formally educated should not be a privilege that is provided for the few. It should be the heritage of every Jamaican, every person who has the requisite mental capacity for the vigors of academia. Fourth, those who benefit from the formal education system are obligated to serve those who did not. You see, the formal educated, by virtue of their access to diverse fields of learning, are servants to those who are not similarly exposed. They are not their masters. What is the job that education does? Well, it's a tool of empowerment. It is a liberating force. It is a door opener. It is a launching pad into various opportunities. It is a refiner of the nation's most valuable resources, its people. It's an investment in intellectual security. In order that education may be meaningful, it points out the origin should be known. The starting point for education is that there is a need to know, a need to do, and a need to be. Knowing caters to the cognitive domain. Doing caters to the psychomotor domain. Being addresses the effective domain. Any system of education that does not adequately addresses these areas is lopsided. The value of any education system, whether religious or secular, ought not to be determined by its ability to transfer information, but by its ability to function as a catalyst for transformation. Education, if and when it happens, must result in a change in the quality of the recipients. A kind of redemption and emancipation must take place. What kind of transformation takes place as a result of education? There is a change in awareness of oneself and others, of our place in the universe. There is a change in our approach to life and living. Life is much more than living. It is living vibrantly. There is a change in the approach of problem solving, thinking on the spot, thinking outside the box. It has been noted that the only tool a person has is a hammer. All problems will be perceived as a nail. Education provides us with a variety of tools. There is a change in relation to service. Not to be served, but to serve, which is the mantra of Jesus. There is a change in how people are viewed. Each one of us shall be optimistic view of everyone. A popular song reminds us that in heaven's eyes, there are no losers. In heaven's eyes, there are no helpless cause. There is a change in how we relate to moral absolutes. We cannot remove the boundaries because we want to extend our room in space. There is a notion, brothers and sisters, that a false one I proclaim, that those who are truly enlightened do not need to observe the no entry and no parking signs. But change comes with challenges. And as a people, we do not embrace the idea of changes. We do not want to come out of our comfort zones. But brothers and sisters, there are some persons that believe that change is bad. Ask some persons to start using the computer, and they are not accustomed to the computer. It's a bad thing. There is also a belief that whatever they continue doing always and should remain the same. They are a person who make a choice to be ignorant. They barricade themselves behind a wall on which the signs which read, "I know enough already," is painted. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to let you know that ignorance, there's no virtue in ignorance. The doctrine of materialism proclaims that it is money and social networks that matters and not education. We need to know as a church that the church is not dependent upon the wealth and the levels of education that we possess. We're not short of that in Andrews. But as a church, we are dependent on our living God. They are just some of the enemies to education and to transformation. Despite these challenges, changes will come. Despite these obstacles, transformation will triumph. Just look around you. Where are the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics today? Where are the Berlin Walls today? Where is the political philosophy of apartheid? Where is Saddam and Gomorrah? Where is Gaddafi? They are all toppled and swept away by the powerful wave of transformation that is caused by education. One day, all the evil and oppressive system of this world will be crushed with the fourth stone of Daniel 2. And we'll be blown away by the wind that will be associated with the second coming of Jesus. Prior to these events, there will be increase in knowledge, though many will run to and fro to propagate that knowledge to the world in gross darkness. We should not be threatened by the qualifications of others. As we melt into our corners, saying that we can't do this and we can't do that. Saying that we are not educated like Brother Noel. Just take a look at the disciples. They had few formal, if any, education. But they had the will. They had the power. They had the passion to carry out the will of God. I say to you, brothers and sisters, once you open your mouth, once you can sing the song of Moses and the Lamb, once you can read the scripture and profess the good news of salvation, once you can say what God has done in your life, He will work wonders on your behalf. I'm here to let you know, brothers and sisters, that the battle is not yours, but the battle is Christ Jesus. As a church, we should go to the highways and the byways. We should not worry about the resources. You see, as a people, we tend to ask God questions. Where are the resources coming from? Where am I going to stay? Who is coming with me? But we need to understand that the God with the plan will provide it for you and for me. Your efforts will result in change, transformation, and reversal. And these are the true educators of the world. Yes, you are educated. You have managed to achieve your undergrad degree. You have managed to read for your master's. You have managed to navigate and achieve your PhD. Don't get me wrong, brothers and sisters, it's needed. It is important for the upliftment of one's self-actualization and for taking up your rightful place in the society. However, might I say to you that having a degree alone will not suffice? Might I add to you that God is looking for people who can bridge the gap? God is looking for the Elijahs to stand up. God is looking for the Daniels to rise up. God is calling for people to stand up in His name, to combat the evil forces that is plaguing our country, Jamaica, and to save His people who are dying in sin. I suggest to you, brothers and sisters, that it doesn't matter the Cutler books that you read. It doesn't matter the Frankwood books that you prepare yourself for. It doesn't matter the Blackstone books that you're reading. I'm recommending and suggesting to you that the best book that you can read is the Bible. The Bible is the best book that has ever been written. It should be our guide. I say to you, brothers and sisters, that we should know the Word of God for ourselves. So when the devil attacked us, we are equipped to carry on his work. As the scripture stated in Psalms 119 verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We must be guided, brothers and sisters. We must be wrapped up and caught up in Him, in His Word. But we're not reading our Bibles as though we ought to. If I should run a survey today and ask how many persons read their Bibles this week, I'd be disappointed. If we just use a fraction of our time that we use on our cell phones, a fraction of that time that we spend on Facebook and Twitter, just a fraction of that time that we use watching digital rising stars, and some of us watching Magnum, what's the name? Kings and Queens of the Dance Hall. If we just use a fraction that we spend watching American Idol, just a fraction, brothers and sisters, then the devil has no choice but to flee. Because we know the word of God. And nobody can tell us what to do. Because we are equipped with his word. A short while ago, a couple weeks ago, you might have heard about the incident at Penwood High School. And it shows the system that we're living in. I was asked to serve as chairman for Penwood High School just this year. January, February of this year. And while I watched the video, I broke down in tears. Just to find students in the formal school system that are gratificating of what transpired, it's alarming. There was this student saying, and some I can't repeat, "You're a murderer, daddy, you're a big man, you're a murderer." And next student was saying, "This is how we become a school for." And a friend of mine who is a church brother, they allege my church brother is a correctional officer. And he told me that he saw the boy. And the boy is just laughing at the act. This is a country that we're living in. Just weeks ago, Jason, I was called for a meeting at Bridgeport High School, my alma mater. My beloved alma mater. The best high school in Jamaica. And six persons faced me. I'm the chairperson for the disciplinary committee. And six boys. And five I had to ask to find the next location. It was hard. But it has to be done. Because sometimes you have to move people from certain location to a new location. This boy, he's in grade 9. He decided that he's not going to speak at all at the board meeting. Now you're called at a board meeting and you decide not to speak. Already that's a no-no. And I understand this guy's in grade 9 and has 9 suspensions. And this guy is a leader for a gang in Bridgeport High School. And the members of the gang are grade 11 students. And this guy will sit in his classroom and give the direction. No, you have to move him from that surround. And his brother was begging, but he wasn't begging at all. And he went outside and said, "Listen, I don't have to be here. I'm in the scamming business. And that's sad. That's the society that we're living in." So when you hear the purr, it's hard for a teacher. The job is hard. One student, the reason why we kept the 6-1. The 6-1, he was very disrespectful to the VP. He was very disrespectful to a senior teacher. And he said something to me profound in that meeting. And I love to cry now. And he started to cry and had to hold back the tears, you know? And he said to me, "Sir, I really don't want to give trouble, you know. But you see, if I live with my mother, when I come to school, I'm going to give peer trouble. Because she just see me a morning time and said, 'But nah, come out, be nothing good in life.' And she just throw things at me. And anything she get, somebody just come to school cross, sir, but me no want to cross." And his father realized. And his father took him from that tenement yard, they call it, and placed him in a new location. So he's on probation for the next 2 months, just to watch him, just to give him a second chance. But that's a society that we're living in. The teachers are teaching and, you know, the reinforcement is not being carried out at home. So it's hard. But how can you discern evil? Why is it that we are educated or we profess to be educated, but we cannot filter the right from the wrong? Why is it that we still gravitate to the things that doesn't please God. But God invites his people not just to stop seeking evil, but also to hate evil and love good. The verb to love in Hebrew means aha. That's right, Pastor. You give me the correction afterwards. And to hate means same. In the Bible, often refers to discussions and actions, not simply to feelings and attitudes. In other words, brothers and sisters, the change in the people's attitude will lead to the change in their action. In Isaiah 5 verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I say to you, brothers and sisters, be transformed through education, but let your actions speak louder than words. Let us have more love for each other. Let us be sensitive to each other's feelings, and let others see Christ through us. Because believe it or not, our day-to-day activity might be the only Bible that some persons will see. So ensure that our lives are conducive to his word, and we're living in accordance to his will. A couple weeks ago, so those are the programs I watch. I watch CNN, BBC, Profile, All Angles, News. That's my program. A couple of weeks ago, I was watching Religious Art Talk. And my church was crucified, was butchered by one of my own church brother. Brother All stating that we are not 100% straight. And Ian Boyne, he was very excited about the topic. Right, he's saying some damning questions were tabled to the Adventist church. But I have one thing to tell, Brother All. Come, let us study together. Come, let us read together. And as Christians, we ought to read for ourselves. Because Christ said in the last days, the turmoil will start from within. So let us know the words for ourselves. And once we know the Bible, no one can take it away from you. So I love to use Ellen G. writings. In Apostle, Acts of the Apostle, page 431, she said, all who in that evil day would fearlessly serve God according to the dictates and conscience will need courage, firmness, and the knowledge of God and his word. For those who are true to God will be persecuted. It's happening already. You know? There's a pastor that is being incarcerated, a Seventh-day Adventist pastor, for 2 years now, and can't get a trial. And the General Conference is taking on the case. It's happening already. Their motives will be in plunge. Their best efforts misinterpreted. Their names cast out as evil. Satan will work with all the deceptive powers to influence the heart and becloud the understanding, to make evil appear good and good evil. Have you ever noticed? Call themselves J-Flats. They are pushing an agenda to let it appear as if marrying to a man to man, or woman to woman is normal. That's the agenda they are pushing. You know, it was happening at the education ministry when some books were sent. That's a subtle way. But we as Christians, we're quiet. Because we must call sin by its rightful name. But how many of us doing it? We shelter in our own comfort zone. And we're afraid to speak. Because according to some of us, there are high profile people in the society. But I'm here to let you know that nobody is high profile like my Prince Emmanuel. And we must call sin by its rightful name. I say to you, brothers and sisters who are attending NCU, the best alma mater, UE, UTEC, UCC, and the others obtaining your tertiary degree, those who are attending secondary schools, primary school, that is not all. But you should be transformed through education within your lives. So by that transformation, the things you do them no more. The places you used to go, you go no more. The things you used to say, you say them no more. I say to you that you must let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. People should see Christ in the way you walk, in the way you talk. We must walk boldly on Sabbath to church with no fear of inviting your neighbors, co-workers, and peers. When people see you, they should not say, "There goes a one-day Christian." But instead, your life must be a living Bible depicting His grace. But what is that source of change? Jesus has been a part of every meaningful change from the time He started His public ministry until the present. His teachings provided impetus for the abolishment that led to the emancipation of African slaves in the New World. The civil rights movement led by Dr. Martin Luther King was galvanized by Jesus. All of Jesus' miracles had one thing in common. They indicated that Jesus was the author of transformation. He was truly an agent of change. If we want to transform our society from the corrupt to an honest one, then we need to educate our society about the purity of Jesus. He alone is the perfect model of that virtue. If we want to create a culture of care and unselfish service, then we need to assuage the love and care of Jesus for all people. In short, the mind of Jesus, a similar model of thinking and doing, must become ours. We are challenged by Paul to reflect the thinking strategy of Jesus. This will result in transformation at each level of our existence. It is not the mind of Newton. It is not the mind of Hawkins. It is not the mind of Jobs that we need. We need the mind of Jesus. Our system of learning, whether formal or informal, does not need less of God and of Jesus. We need more. When Jesus is expelled from our institutions of learning, the pupils become efficient at doing bad. When he is part of the academic life, they become adept at doing good. Our Bible tells us in Proverbs 22, verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he or she should go, when he go, he will not depart from it. We must not imagine that these words are to be understood in an absolute sense, as if no child that we have trained up in the way therein he should go had ever departed from it. Matter of a fact, it's controversial now. Matter of a fact, will by no means agree with this. You know, some of the best parents have the worst children. Mercy. It is true. This might sometimes be the case, because good men have good intentions. Good men have not always a good understanding. And without this, it is hardly to be expected that they will know how to train up their children. Besides, those who are in other respect good men have often too much easiness of temper, so that they go no further in restraining their children from evil than in old Eli did, when he said gently, "Nay, my sons, the report I hear about you is not good." You know, back in the days, I remember back in the days, I just joined the Spanish on Sunday Adventist Church. And if one of my parents' friends used to see me outside with my shirt out of my pants, I'd get a beating from them. And then when I reach home, I get a next beating. Marking, I'm not for corporal punishment. I'm not for it, personally. It worked for me then. But you know, it's a different mechanism you're dealing with now. Right? You know, you're free to do what you want to do. But me personally, I'm not for it. But it worked for me then. I remember my dad used to set appointments to beat me. I give trouble today, or next week Wednesday, meet me in my room. And that was like 45 minutes. Beating, stop, talk. Beating, stop, talk. Beating, stop. Religiously. I remember when I was walking from Spanish Town to Ensom, where I live, and I was a little bit thirsty. You know, as a young boy, you want some water. And the first place I went to, right near Irigert Lane, was a bar. And that was the worst mistake I made in my life. One of. And I got a glass of water. When I reached home, my grandmother was very stern. I got a good beating. A very good one. And then afterwards, my grandmother said, "You went to bar and drink rum." And then that's when I explained to her what happened. But somebody saw me and called grandma. And I got a beating for nothing. Right? But as I said, it worked for me then. But you know, we're dealing with different culture, different people. So we have to be very careful and mindful. This then is no contradiction to the assertion of their children are not trained up in the way wherein they should go. But if we must be acknowledged, some have been trained therein with all the possible care and diligence, and yet before they were old, yea, in the strength of their years, they did utterly depart from it. The impact of Jesus' life on society cannot begin to even be quantified, because people everywhere either knows about Jesus, they have known about him, they have heard about him, or they will hear about him. I read an article this week, USA Today, that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is the largest growing church in North America. That's not news to me, because the Bible tells us that in the last days, flocks who are not of my fold will be apart. A popular code states, people come into your life for a reason, for a season, or for a lifetime. Brothers and sisters, Jesus was all about people. He impacted people. He cared for people. He made a difference in the lives of people. I'm here to let you know, brothers and sisters, that Jesus is in your life for a lifetime. All you have to do is just ask, and it will be given unto you. The days, brothers and sisters, are coming, declare the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land. Not a famine of food or of thirst for water, but a famine of the hearing of the words of the Lord. Men will be staggered from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. Amos 8, verses 11 to 12. I say to you, know the words of God for yourself. If you want true transformation, study His word, not just when you're taking up your quarterly, but take some time during the day to read a verse. And that is for me as well. I love this book, Education, Ellen G. White. True education means more than the pursual of a certain course of study. It means more than a preparation for the life that now is. It has to do with the old being and with the old period of existence possible to man. It is the harmonious development of the physical, the mental, and the spiritual power. It prepares a student for the joy of service in this world and for the higher joy of wider service in the world to come. Brothers and sisters, God is looking for men and women who will stand up and be counted. God is looking for men and women who will be true ambassadors for His kingdom. It doesn't make sense, brothers and sisters, that you are well educated, that you have all these accolades behind your name, and you lose your soul. It doesn't make sense that we are present at church early every Sabbath, that we take part on the praise team. It doesn't mean, brothers and sisters, that we are at every Sunday and Wednesday night meetings and our names are not written there. One day, brothers and sisters, this world will be no more. Education will not matter. Your qualifications cannot take you to the kingdom. One day, brothers and sisters, there will be a famine in the land. Not a famine of food or water, but a famine for the word of God. One day, brothers and sisters, the clouds will be rolled back from the eastern skies. One day, brothers and sisters, Gabriel will sound the trumpet. One day, brothers and sisters, the dead in Christ shall rise to meet Him in the air. Are you a part of that gathering? One day, brothers and sisters, those who are living will be caught up to meet Him in the air. One day, brothers and sisters, this world will be no more. We will be changed from mortal to immortality. One day, brothers and sisters, there will be no more pain, no more sickness, no more death, for the former things are passed away. The question to you today, is your name written there?